This is Radio Nederland, the Dutch World Broadcasting System in Hilversum, with a transmission relayed via Bonaire, Netherlands Antilles. This transmission is directed to the North American continent at a frequency of 11,730 kilohertz, a wavelength of 25.58 meters. You can listen to us every day from 2 until 3:20 hours GMT.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the news from our studios in Hilversum. The Viet Cong radio station has reported that the South Vietnamese provincial capital of An Loc has fallen into the hands of the communists. President Nixon is back in Washington after a two-day visit to Canada. The official death toll in the earthquake in Iran has risen to over 5,000. And Queen Juliana and Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands are back in Holland after a five-day state visit to Britain. Now the news in detail. The Viet Cong radio has announced that the South Vietnamese provincial capital of An Loc, about 60 miles north of Saigon. Reports from the South Vietnamese side, however, say that by nightfall their troops still retained contact with the An Loc garrison despite heavy communist pressure on the city. American helicopter pilots reported one-third of An Loc reduced to rubble, and some reports say that thousands of residents have sought refuge in hastily improvised bomb shelters. Thousands of others have fled the town in a car to the nearby town of Chom Thon via Highway 13, but reportedly Chom Thon is also threatened by the communist advance. And communist pressure on South Vietnamese near the ports of Hue and Da Nang. In Cambodia, communist forces continue their advance towards the town of Kon Phan Trang, situated on a major supply route to South Vietnam. A military spokesman in the capital, Phnom Penh, said that in Kon Phan Trang, government troops were engaged in a house-to-house battle with North Vietnamese and Viet Cong. Reportedly, the government troops who are being supported by South Vietnamese soldiers are still holding the city center. Kon Phan Trang is situated more than 60 miles from Phnom Penh. North Vietnam has told the United States that it's willing to resume the Paris peace talks on April the 27th. The Americans broke off the discussions on March the 23rd, saying that there'd been no more talks until the North Vietnamese were ready for serious negotiations. In the Swedish capital, Stockholm, a crowd of 11,000 people demonstrated against American involvement in the fighting in Indochina. The demonstrators paraded past the American embassy, which was guarded by a strong police force. No incidents were reported. Hundreds of people gathered in front of the White House in Washington to protest against the United States military involvement in Vietnam. The demonstrations passed off without major incidents, but in spite of this, some 200 people were arrested. President Nixon has returned to Washington after a two-day visit to Canada, during which he had talks with the Prime Minister, Mr. Trudeau. The two leaders have signed an agreement to fight pollution of the five Great Lakes on the border between their countries. While the presidential plane took off from Ottawa, several hundred people staged an anti-American demonstration in front of the parliamentary buildings there. In Washington, the White House has announced that on his trip to Moscow next month, President Nixon will make a brief stop in the Austrian city of Salzburg to adapt to the time difference between Washington and Moscow. The White House also announced that an American delegation is due to leave for Moscow on Monday to prepare the Nixon visit. The president is scheduled to arrive in the Serbian capital on May the 22nd. In the United States, ex-president Lyndon B. Johnson is still reported in good condition after suffering a mild heart attack a week ago. Mr. Johnson is in hospital in San Antonio in Texas. The former president, who is now 63, earlier suffered a heart attack in 1958. The Shah of Iran has announced in Tehran that over 5,000 people are now known to have died in the earthquake in the southern province of Pars. More than 1,000 people are reported injured. The Shah was speaking after his visit to Deer, the worst-hit village in the area. Last reports from the province of Far say a 91-year-old man has been found alive after having been buried under the rubble for 4 days. Reports released now say that there's been a 4-day battle between Iraqi and Persian forces in the border area between the two countries. It's not known how many casualties were caused by the fighting. Iran has announced that Iraqi troops have captured 3 Iranian border guards. The two countries blame each other for the outbreak of the hostilities. The fighting lasted from last Monday until Friday. Tanks, artillery, and infantry took part in the battle. Iraq broke off relations with Iran last November following the occupation of a number of strategic islands in the Persian Gulf by Iran. The authoritative Egyptian paper Al Ahram reports that a large natural gas field has been discovered some 200 miles west of Cairo. Its contents are estimated at 2,226,000 cubic feet. It's hoped that exploitation can start this year. If the estimate is correct, the field will be capable of supplying Cairo with gas for a period of some 60 years. In Uruguay, Parliament has given the government a 30-day license to wage internal war against subversive elements in the country. The government originally asked for 90 days. The move follows recent attacks by the Tucumano guerrilla organization in which the former Deputy Minister of the Interior, a Navy officer, and 2 Secret Service officers were killed. Yesterday, 8 guerrillas were killed in fighting with the police, including a Tupamaro leader, Senor Crajales. The Uruguayan president, Mr. Bonaberry, has, in a radio and TV broadcast, called on all armed forces in the country to preserve unity. In Northern Ireland, a man has been shot dead in an exchange of fire between troops and gunmen in the center of Belfast. According to the army, he was Joseph McCann, aged 24, one of the leaders of the official wing of the illegal Irish Army. McCann was wanted by the police for the past 3 years. Only hours later, a 17-year-old boy in Belfast was shot dead from a passing car. A baby was also hit and taken to hospital, where it's said to be in a critical condition. And finally, Queen Juliana of the Netherlands, ending a 5-day state visit to Great Britain, has expressed the wish that Britain's entry into the European common market may soon be a fact. Queen Juliana further said that Holland's membership of the common market had not adversely affected her country's national identity. She was speaking at the end of a reception at Holyrood House in Edinburgh, the first of the Dutch royal visit to England and Scotland. Queen Juliana and her husband, Prince Bernhard, have meanwhile flown back to the Netherlands. And that's all in the news. Now, today's Spotlight, which is focused on hunting the migrating birds in Italy. At complete variance with tradition and contrary to Italian law, which lays down that the hunting season ends on April the 1st, the district councils of Puglia and Calabria have decreed that hunters can indulge in what has charmingly been described as a spring hunt. In reality, however, it will be a ruthless slaughter of birds of passage returning to their summer haunts in Europe from winter quarters in Africa at about this time of the year. The two districts in southern Italy are among the usual resting stations where these birds, which have just come across the Mediterranean from North Africa, alight in a state of almost utter exhaustion. So they're sitting targets for the gun-toting bird killers who, without effort, can kill thousands of them in a short time. The whole business is so absurd and detestable that there's been a great flurry of protest against the practice, even from within Italy itself. The student generation especially seems to show a more humane and intelligent approach to the whole matter than the older generation. Conservation and animal protection societies have lodged strong protests against this barbarism. All to no avail. The only thing the district council did in order to cover themselves was that they decreed certain closed areas along the coast. Signs were placed there reading, "Oasis of repose and shooting prohibited." The district authorities seem to have based the decree on the assumption that, unlike some of the gunmen, all birds have learned to read so that they can tell where they're safe from pot shots. The sad truth behind it all is that the license to kill is meant to camouflage the district administration's inability to improve living standards of the local population. A second factor is that in this period of electioneering, not a single political party nor any one politician has had courage enough to stand up to the bird-killing fraternity for fear that they might decide to switch their vote. In Italy, bird shooters and bird catchers are so numerous that they constitute a huge slice of the electorate, which can't be ignored. Faced with the choice between a member of parliament and the lives of hundreds of thousands of birds, the electorate has no qualms about opting for the member. Today's spotlight came from Radio Nederland's Rome correspondent, Gordon Hoth. And that concludes the news from our studios in Hilversum.
You are tuned to Radio Nederland, the world broadcasting system in Hilversum, Holland, with the relay broadcast via Bonaire, Netherlands, and Antilles. On this day, back in 1947, Radio Nederland was born. Today's broadcast marks the occasion.
Hier Radio Oranje, de stem van strijdend Nederland. Op 1573 meter en in de 49, 31 en 25 meter band. Goedenavond, luisteraars in Nederland, in Oost en West, op zee, of waar ook ter wereld.
I guess you could call that one of the first sounds of Radio Nederland, the beginnings of Radio Nederland. For the remainder of today's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to reminisce. They do say that once you start reminiscing about, quote, the good old days, unquote, you're a little older. This is a very special day because Radio Nederland today is 25 years of age. In our studio today, we have Mr. Van Dulken, the head of the English department of Radio Nederland, and my colleagues, Ruth Parsons and Neville Gray, the stars of What's New, which is usually heard on Saturdays. We'll start with you, Van Dulken. You were at Radio Nederland almost from the very first hour.
I was. Actually, today is more than 25 years ago, because on the 1st of February, we started out with the English section. But I'll tell you how it worked, because the tune you just heard was taken during the war in England, when the forerunner of Radio England was called Radio Oranje, Radio Orange. It was broadcast from the BBC studios to put some heart into all Dutchmen all over the world, both in the Netherlands and overseas.
And run by the government in exile there, I take it.
That's correct, yeah. Mr. Van den Broek, Henk Van den Broek, ran Radio Oranje in London. Later he came over to Eindhoven, which is the Philipstown in the south of the Netherlands, in 1945, when that part of the country was liberated. And later moved, when the rest of the country was liberated, to Hilversum. And then it was shortwave radio called Radio Netherlands in transitional period. Shortly after that, in April, actually on April the 15th, 1947, exactly 25 years ago today, the foundation Radio Nederland was set up officially, and that's what we are today.
Many people still remember Radio Nederland as PCJ.
Yes, those were the call letters of the transmitter at the time. Actually, it was PCJJ, but in short, we called it PCJ, and that made...
Why not PC for short?
Yeah, why not P for short? Yeah. Anyway, we were not any longer allowed to use those call letters because we were not a commercial station, so we had to drop them.
Many things, of course, have happened in the past 25 years.
We
Yes. We have dug into our archives, our tape and record archives, to find some of the voices of way back when. The first of which, for example, is the voice of Queen Wilhelmina, who, a few years after the end of the war, spoke of the resurrection of the country. Here, then, is the voice from our archives of Queen Wilhelmina.
Colonialism is dead. We will not be thrown off far. And the proud achievement of by from day, that a nation was strong enough to make a new beginning. We shall be strong enough.
And about there, the new beginning was made on rebuilding the nation. I find that Bruce and Neville have been rather quiet. Musically speaking, a great deal has happened, too, in the past 25 years, I should imagine.
It has indeed. And in 1948, one of the
big songs that everybody here in Holland was singing was one presented by the street singers, the Straatsangers, which was called...
Yeah, it was called Als de Klok van Arnhem.
The Street Singers and a song from 1948, Als de Klok van Arnemade.
That certainly bring back a memory or two to many people.
Yeah, one of those tearjerkers we had at that time. By the way, we have asked on these occasions for several colleagues, shall we say, in other countries to join us in the celebrations, and they'd like to say a few words on this occasion. The difficulty is we had a tape from the United States, from one of the first stations that we had connection with in 1947 with transcription programs. That was station WHDC in the United States. And on the occasion, Bill Wichers was going to send a message on behalf of all the American stations, but unfortunately something went wrong with the tape and we cannot play it. But just the same, we thank Bill Wichers in Holland, Michigan, for the nice message he sent us today on the occasion of our Silver Jubilee.
I suppose it comes from all that vast experience in broadcasting that we received the clean tape from him.
Probably.
when Radio Nederland started, the prime purpose of that time was to broadcast only to Dutch people, was it not?
Yes, originally to Dutch migrants and people in other countries who were temporarily there, or people at sea, seafarers. But since we wanted to put Holland on the map, we also used English and Indonesian, and later Spanish, and still later French, Arabic, Afrikaans, as languages to communicate with people in other countries, tell them what happened here in the Netherlands.
We broadcast now in a total of, six or seven languages?
Seven languages, yes.
A small United Nations.
Definitely so, yes.
Holland is a country that attracts many people for countless reasons, and one of the visitors who came here in 1948... shortly after the war, of course, was Eleanor Roosevelt. And she received a doctorate of law at Utrecht University back then. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
And she received this actually on behalf of all American women for their war efforts. And Eleanor always said this in reply.
It is with a deep sense of gratitude and humility that I accept from this ancient university a degree which I will cherish, not because of my own achievements, but because I'm sure in giving it to me, you had in mind, as you stated, an expression of gratitude to my husband and to the United States of America.
At that time, where were we? Still in Eindhoven studio?
No, we were here, right here in Hilversum, and it was quite an occasion because 1948 was also the year of the abdication of Queen Wilhelmina. She had been on the Dutch throne for more than 50 years, which is quite a long time for a woman. She was the strong man in the Dutch cabinet, as Churchill used to say in London. Queen Wilhelmina, of course, had quite a difficult time during the war in England, and I can imagine that in 1948 she wanted to abdicate, and this is what she said on the occasion of her abdication.
Gaat de toekomst tegemoet, houder en houder met Juliana, God zegene u en mijn geliefd kind.
Perhaps you can translate that.
Yeah, well, she asked the Dutch people to support her daughter Juliana as queen, and with the support of the Lord.
You know, we get quite a few letters even to this day from listeners asking, I'm sure that you, Neville and Bruce, get letters asking, how come you speak such good English? I think many listeners don't really realize that we are not Dutchmen, Van, but the people who work here are, for the most part, not nationals of the countries.
No.
Of the country.
In those 25 years we've been on the air, we've had 48 non-Dutch nationals on staff, and These people came from the United States, from Canada, from Britain, from South Africa, from Australia, New Zealand, and from all over the world.
I think it's the policy of Radio Nederland to employ nationals of those countries to which we broadcast.
That's correct, yeah.
We're called Bouderlanders.
Yeah.
Foreigners.
Among
many other things.
Yeah, outlanders.
Other things which shall remain nameless at the moment.
Yeah, they call you names.
One of the gentlemen, for example, who also in 1948 came to Holland, and on his way through he was asked about the situation in the Middle East, was the then Middle East mediator.
Yes, Count Bernadotte.
Who was later killed in an airplane crash. And Count Bernadotte, when he was in Holland, had this to say pertaining to the situation in the Middle East.
We had, I would like to say, from the beginning, goes up and down. Now we are a little down, but I'm not at all a broken man over this. But I'm still hopeful that we can get the result of the mission.
The voice there of Count Bernadotte.
Yep. Well, 1948, as I said,
the stamp was issued on October the 1st.
And the accession to the throne of Queen Juliana. And this is what she said in her first speech as queen in Dutch.
De samen van de moeder voorwaarts. Leve het vaderland.
There she said that we will advance together courageously.
The 19th, long live the fatherland.
You mentioned earlier the name, Mr. Van den Broek, Henk Van den Broek.
Yeah.
He was the first director of Radio Nederland, wasn't he?
That's correct, yeah.
And he was rather well known in London circles.
Yes, because
he was
known as the Rotterdamer. He spoke daily on the radio to people in Holland as the Rotterdamer. That was his, pseudonym, you could call it.
Well, he could be called then the founder, the founding father, as it were, of Radio Nederland.
That's correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. The founding father of KLM, Royal Dutch Airlines, could be called Albert Plesman.
That's true.
And shortly after the war, this actually was in 1948 when...
1949.
In 1949, yes,
yeah.
When Albert Plesman announced the opening of the first Amsterdam-Montreal line.
That's right, yeah.
And this is what he said at the time, in 1949.
We expect from this line a great future, as Canada is a country which is vastly developing, and as Holland is a country which is overpopulated, and with Belgium together, has a population of 20 million people.
What do you say, Van, is the importance of Radio Nederland? What do you think our main task is or should be?
Our main task is to put the Netherlands on the map. That's, I think, the main task we have, to inform people in other countries about what we do and how we do it.
You think we've been doing it rather well these past 25 years?
I flatter myself with the thought that we have, yes.
And how many people do we have working in the building? Because we've moved in the past 25 years. We were located in old villas right here in Hilversum.
Yeah, we had four or five villas, and we had to commute back and forth between them, which was rather cumbersome, but still it was fun in those days. We only had about 50 people on staff, and now we have 375, I think.
Weren't you one of the first announcers in the English department?
No, I was the first editor. I wrote the very first... news bulletin in English for Radio Nederland.
And well, you've come a long way, because now you're allowed to go on the air, too.
That's right. But other people that we were connected with for centuries are the people in South Africa, and we also have a message from South Africa in Afrikaans. From
the South Afrikaanse Broodzaakoperatie?
Yeah, South Afrikaanse Uitzaakoperatie. And here is Marco van Tonder. Come in.
Meer as 300 jaar gelede het Nederland die blye boodskap van goeie hoop met 'n seilskepie na die suidpunt van Afrika gestuur. En nou stuur hierdie land onder die groot suidersterre dieselfde boodskap van goeie hoop met blydskap per radiogolf terug. 'N Jong land in sy radiodiens groet die stamland en haar omroep. En ons wens vir u is die randskrif van een van die klokke in die eie Dordrecht voor het lied van de toren open uw oren voor het lied van het leven uw hart.
Thank you very much.
That's right.
Might I mention that Bruce said that we're referred to as Bartelanders here,
yeah.
Foreigners in Holland. And I'd like to mention at this point that many foreigners in Holland speak very good Dutch. That's for example, Bruce and Neville, and I have been told they're going to take up South Afrikaans now.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I'm having enough trouble with my Dutch. I think I'll keep away from Afrikaans.
1949. We're still in the year 1949. And one of the gentlemen who came here was Sir Winston Churchill, and he received the Grotius?
The Grotius Medal, yeah. Hugo Grotius was a famous international lawyer, a Dutchman from the, 17th century.
Well, Winston Churchill received this award for his war efforts. Here, then, is the voice of Sir Winston Churchill.
Lord Mayor, I have been deeply touched by the kindness which I have always been treated by the Dutch people and by the gracious courtesy of Queen Wilhelmina and of her daughter, Queen Juliana, the reigning sovereign of a state which has played so fine a part in the history not only of Europe, but of freedom's cause.
Well, World War II was over. People were looking forward to peace, happiness, and all that goes with it. The trouble was still brewing because troubles were coming up with Indonesia at the time.
Yeah, as a result of the Japanese occupation there, well, it's something we'd rather not go into because it's too political, but at the time, Indonesia received independence from the Netherlands and from Queen Juliana, and this is what the Queen said on the occasion of the transfer of sovereignty.
De aanvaarding van de soevereiniteit door de jonge staat, de Republiek der Verenigde Staten van Indonesië, als mede het afstand doen daarvan door het Koninkrijk der Nederlanden en het aangaan van een uur of al van de meest aangrijpende en ingrijpende gebeurtenissen van deze tijd.
That was the voice of Queen Juliana. And I think that one of the difficulties today, or one of the things which is unique of this broadcast, is that Neville and Bruce are not saying very much, because, of course, when What's News on the air, they have their typewriters and their scriptwriters hard at work, and you're not saying very much today, chaps.
The show is not over yet, Jerry, so give us a little time.
I'll give you time right now.
Still working.
I'll give you time right now. How about that?
Well, what about this? Suggesting that in 1952, one of the songs that were being presented and very popular here was a little thing called Not a Sparkle. And something you'll notice about pop music and music in general here in Holland is there are lots of young people very popular as artists. People like Heintje and Wilmer are the big artists at the moment.
And we're very young artists.
Oh, reasonably.
Don't forget Marty, the trumpet player.
Yeah, yeah. But back in 1952, a little girl called Helentje van Capella was a very successful artist here.
Af en toe gaan pa en moe met ons naar de speeltuin toe. Dat is voor ons kinderen het fijnste wat bestaat. Het is een eind bij ons vandaan, daarom gaat de karavaan. Morgens al op weg, dan zijn wij er niet zo laat. Heeft mama een goede bel en is papa niet.
Helentje van Capella. And that takes me back to my youth, where I was 18 years old 25 years ago. Of course, that doesn't work out mathematically, but that's another story.
What are we supposed to do, applaud?
No, no, not really. But what I would make...
Only 1 year older than Neville.
Yeah. Well, that's true, really. We would make mention of the fact that as Van Dulken and Jerry Cowan bring us back memories with these historical flashes, we will in turn... continue with these hits of the various years, working our way up towards the present day. And from that hit, what happens next?
A great deal happens next, but might I interject here simply to say that, speaking of age, I find Neville looks extremely well for a man of 42.
Well conserved.
Rather unhappy things happened in 1953. The by now infamous floods in the country where the dikes in what part of the country?
In the southwest of the country, in the islands of the province of Zeeland.
And at that time, we had a chap working here. His name was and still is Walt Richter.
From America.
From the United States.
That's correct.
And here's a part of his report at the time.
There are 20 persons missing, presumably dead. And these people died because of the fact that they saw the wave coming, the wave that washed over the dikes and the polders, and tried to run for the high land across their fields, but they couldn't make it. Only one body has been found.
And in spite of the unhappiness, life goes on, of course, for most people, as usual. And one of the people who came to visit us in Holland was the well-known pianist, Miss Winifred Atwell.
Oh, yes.
Have you ever met her?
Oh, I've never met Winnie, but she's a marvelous musician.
Yeah. Well, we all know how she sounds, as far as the piano is concerned. Here's how she sounds vocally.
I must tell you that from the plane, looking down on Holland, I was very struck by how neat and precise everything looked. All the little themes, you know, they were just in little rows, quite correct and proper.
Yeah, typically Dutch, quite correct and proper, yes, indeed. Shall we have another message from abroad?
Yes, one of the countries that we have quite a good relation with, both in the radio field and, of course, by way of migrants from Holland to there, is New Zealand. And Mr. J. Reed from the New Zealand Broadcasting Corporation sent us the following message. Come in.
Greetings from the New Zealand Broadcasting Corporation. We're happy to join you on the occasion of your 25th anniversary celebrations. During the long association that's existed between our two organizations, we and our listeners have enjoyed many programs of both light and serious music that have been sent to us from Holland. May we offer our sincerest thanks, along with our congratulations and very best wishes for the continuing success of Radio Nederland.
And in that message from New Zealand, mention was made of, for example, cooperation, which brings me to the point of transcription programs. Many people might be wondering how we possibly cooperate with other non-Dutch radio stations. And I come up to the point of transcription programs.
Yeah, well, we make transcribe programs here, both on tape and on disc, and we send those to other countries, to other radio stations, presumably. And they broadcast there locally or regionally so as to reach a larger audience than we could ever hope to do from here via shortwave.
How many programs do we send via our transcription?
Oh, at the moment, at this moment, I think it's more than 110,000 per annum. Mm-hmm.
How many?
110,000 per annum.
Quite a few. I remember years ago, it used to be 30.
Yeah.
It's gone up quite a bit. You know, back in 1953, Prinz Bernhard came back from a trip to the United States. And at that time, he also thanked the people of the United States for their help during and immediately following the floods of 1953. Here now, from our archives again, the voice of His Royal Highness, Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands.
And they have to be back from my journey to the United States, where I was able to spend a few days in New York and Washington, and where I was especially able to thank the American people for the wonderful and generous help that they have given us during the catastrophe that hit our country. I can assure you, American listeners, that the Dutch people have appreciated that and will appreciate it, and by it you have made the ties that bind our two countries very much stronger again.
And about time, work started on protecting Holland from the sea, protecting the country permanently from the sea. One of our reporters at that time was Brian Matthew, and he describes the closing of the very first dike.
Well, welcome, ladies. I don't know whether you can hear me with that wonderful noise in the background. Maybe it sounds like a horrible thing to you, but believe me, it's a wonderful noise, because that means those tugs hooting and tooting mean that the caisson has been placed in position. They mean that the dike has been repaired. They mean that this wonderful Operation Four Phoenix has been successful, and that Holland has thrown back the water from its land, and that they have achieved something that's absolutely fantastic and magnificent.
Brian Matthew reporting from the scene of the closing of the very first dike. Going back a few minutes, Van, Walt Richter, the reporter, a few minutes ago mentioned 20 people dead, but actually many more died.
Yeah, there were about 2,000 people killed, and I think, I don't know how many cattle and horses and so forth.
Did that all happen in the space of a couple of hours?
No, just a few days, yeah.
Two or three days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're in the year 1954 now. And another unhappy event, the death of Dr. Plessman, Albert Plessman, the founder of KLM. At that time, we had a message from the KLM Board of Directors and the Chairman of the Board of Directors, Jonkheer J.A.C. Sundberg.
Plessman has fully given his wonderful personality to build the KLM. He used his strength to the utmost to make the KLM the worldwide concern we know today. KLM stands there as a living monument. The land of Plessman forever will be remembered
KLM might have been standing there, but they've been doing anything but standing. They've been going ever since. And again, although this was an unhappy event, life still went on as before. And show business personality still came and went, because there's no business like show business. And here's the voice of a gentleman who was here back in 1954, Mr. Mitch Miller.
They play concerts of chamber music and the Budapest Quartet and the Paganini Quartet, and I just recorded Mozart, Oboe Concerto in C Major, and some Bach's Low Movements on the other side of this, Philip Selby.
And from Mitch Miller to Bruce Parsons.
And from Bruce Parsons to Wim Sonnefeld, who was Mr. Show Business himself. He has, of course, gained an international reputation over the years, having spent some time in the USA and Hollywood. He was involved in films. And when he appears on television, his rare appearance here in Holland on TV, the streets are pretty much empty because people like to not only hear him sing and entertain and dance, but his jokes are of the very best quality as well.
Certainly not better than yours on
Well,
you.
He's got a few more years.
And a lot more script writers.
Yes.
But I understand you pay your script writers much more anyway.
Well, we do have a big budget. This is the way he sounded, though, in 1954. Wim Sonnefeld, as he talked about the Oboman.
That is the
Mela.
Well, show business, of course, but not only show business, royalty is also welcome always in any country. And
at the time, in 1954, we had a visit here
by King Frederick IX of Denmark and Queen
Elizabeth. King Frederick, who unfortunately died a few months ago.
There are few countries with which Denmark has enjoyed as old important relations as with the Netherlands. In our culture, in our architecture, and in the chronicle of trade connections of bygone days, we find the rich variety of records to remind us of these relations. Settlers who came to Denmark from the Netherlands were known for their skill, and brought with them their ardent love of flowers, that symbol of beauty, which is so characteristic of your enchanting countryside.
1954, more royalty came to Holland at that time, and at that time King Håkon VII of Norway was the oldest reigning monarch back in 1954. And now here's a description of the arrival of King Håkon VII.
The barge has just arrived at the floating pontoon on which is standing Her Majesty Queen Juliana and His Royal Highness Prince Bernhard. And in this barge is Europe's oldest reigning monarch, 82-year-old King Håkon VII, in the dress of an admiral of the Norwegian fleet. Prince Bernhard has just saluted him, and he's now stepped out of the barge and set foot on this pontoon. He's kissed the hand of Her Majesty Queen Juliana, and shortly he will be walking up the steps to approach the pavilion.
Might we mention at this point that, just in case you tuned in, you're listening to a special program from Holland, from Radio Nederland?
The Dutch World Broadcasting System.
Glad you said that. Marking the 25th anniversary of this organization. The programs, incidentally, usually heard on Saturdays. Programs such as Holland Calling Africa and the other show. What's it called?
Window on Holland.
Yes, Window on Holland, and there's one other.
Program Parade.
Program Parade.
Has been preempted.
And that's by radio.
I like these words like
and
that.
And of course, next week you'll also be able to hear what's new if you're not in Africa.
Again.
Another showbiz personality, and this time back in 1954, it was Lionel Hampton who came to Holland.
Well, I started out when I was about 16 years old. I was a drummer with the famous Louis Armstrong. I was very fortunate to come under Louis.
At 16 years?
Yes.
And now you're playing the type of phone, isn't it?
Yeah, then I started messing around with the vibes then, and I later joined the Benny Goodman quartet. And I got a lot of experience then with the vibe of harp, and then after that I formed my own band.
That was the voice of Lionel Hampton who started messing around with the vibes.
And now I'd like to take time out for another message.
This time from Suriname, which is on the South American continent. And this comes from Radio Paramaribo, Harold Brown. Come in.
nangabroko mangkura par Radio Paramaribo na insernang e par bigi fristeri nanga odigi Radio Nederland Wereldomroep. Langa libi nanga bongbroko makandra rapar na insernang e wind Wereldomroep na tap na 20 na 5 Februari de edisi.
And while Lionel Hampton was asked about his messing around with the vibes, a woman reporter at a press conference asked Coop, Gary Cooper, the film actor, if he was ever interested in messing around with women.
In what?
In women.
In women. Well, for a married man, I suppose being in pictures, one must be interested in humanity, let us say, and particularly in the opposite sex, because we our work involves playing human emotions.
Yes.
Usually with the opposite sex.
Yeah, recently I've seen a couple of motion pictures, and I did indeed see women in them. Shall we mess around with some music?
Yeah.
Some music from Johnny Jordan, for example. Johnny Jordan is... I believe he took his name then, did he not, from the
Jordan district in Amsterdam, where he was born.
And he sings the kind of songs that are very popular in that area. And one in 1955 that was a tremendous hit for him was this one called...
Oh yes, Geef Mij Maar Amsterdam. Yes, that's how Johnny Jordan sings, and he's well-respected, well-loved here in Holland. He quite often appears with another famous personality from Amsterdam, Tante Lane, who just celebrated her 60th birthday recently.
She's quite a woman.
As we celebrate our 25th.
Right. By the way, we had more royalty coming in those years, and King Gustav VI from Sweden was also here, and he referred to the war.
We were therefore in Sweden deeply shocked at the ruthless attacks directed against this peace-loving and industrial people almost to a day 15 years ago. And our people followed with a keen interest and admiration of the resistance of the Netherlands people during those long years of the war.
That was in the year 1954. We skip over a few years, but that's 1957. 57 in Holland, ladies and gentlemen, was a rather quiet year.
Until Jane Mansfield came along.
Yes, indeed.
I adore Holland. It's beautiful, it's clean, it's quaint, it's wonderful. It's full of culture. I saw the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam. I saw Rembrandt's famous Night Watch painting, plus other ones. And we're going to keep seeing all that we possibly can.
Well, that was what was new in 1957. Speaking of what was new, what's new, Neville and Bruce?
In 1957, Holland won the Eurovision Song Fest with a song from Corrie Brocken called Net als Toen.
Wees nog eens net als toen. Vraag me nog eens
another message coming in, this time from down under also, but from John West Radio Australia. Come in.
From Australia, ABC Radio and Radio Australia send our warmest wishes to Radio Nederland on this year's 25th anniversary. Congratulations.
It was nothing. Thank you very much, Radio Australia. For the first time in 300 years, an English reigning monarch visited Holland in 1958. To Holland, Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip. And the date, it was Tuesday, March the 25th, 1958, when they arrived, and a banquet, of course, was held for them, their honor, and Queen Juliana sent the following.
We British and Dutch have cherished and stood for the same ideal and suffered for them. Over and over again, we have proven that we are explorers to the core. And whatever the judgment of history, we belong to that same brand of world citizenship that makes us feel at home everywhere.
The voice there of Queen Juliana. Reply now from Queen Elizabeth.
Over a quarter of a million people of Dutch origin have settled in Commonwealth countries, mainly in Canada, Australia, South Africa, and New Zealand. Their skill, initiative, endurance, and character make them all the more welcome. And your immigrants are, I know, highly regarded in all these countries.
Yes, the year 1958 also saw a song called Nel Blu di Printer di Blu winning the Sanremo Song Festival and was covered very successfully here in Holland by Holland's Willy Alberti in his version of Volare.
Mentre il mondo pian piano spariva lontano laggiù. Una musica dolce suonava soltanto per me.
1959, the following year, saw the 10th anniversary of NATO, which is quite an important organization, and a message from the then Dutch ambassador in London, Baron Bentinck.
NATO has certainly achieved a great deal in the last 10 years. It has achieved a very important and powerful monetary organization. Perhaps not quite as powerful and as strong as we would like it, but certainly strong enough to keep the Soviets in check in Europe.
Then we have a little, and in Dutch that would be een beetje. I'm talking about a recording made back in that year. That was 59, wasn't it, Neville?
Mm-hmm.
In which Teddy Scholten won the big song festival over here, singing a tune that I just mentioned, Een Beetje. What a song it was.
Een beetje, verliefd was je wel meer, meneer, dat weet je. Je hart kwam wel eens meer op een ideetje. Dat speet je maar, ach weet je, soms vergeet je wel een beetje gauw je eetje.
The Eurovision Song Festival winner in 1959, Een Beetje. But besides the Eurovision Song Festival, each and every year, there's also the Holland Festival.
Yes, and at Holland Festival, we had that particularly Maria Callas, the famous Italian singer, or rather Greek singer, but she usually sings in Italy. And she talked to us and had high praise for the Holland Festival director.
Well, I can only say one thing, that I hope to God everything goes well. But I'm particularly happy to be here in Holland. Aside the very many letters I receive, I'm particularly happy to be with Mr. Diamond, a very old friend, a very fine person, and I hope you realize that you should be very proud to have such a director.
And might we mention at this point, too, that everything did indeed go well for Miss Maria Callas.
We bring in another message. This one comes from the Far East, and we ask to come in Mr. Tadamasa Hashimoto from Radio Japan.
Radio Nederland の放送開始25周年記念日にあたり、日本放送協会の国際放送ラジオ日本を代表してお祝いの言葉を送ることができるのを大変嬉しく思います。ラジオネデルランドもラジオ日本も電波を通じてそれぞれの国の生活や考え方、文化や芸術を広く全世界に伝える役割を果たしております。ラジオネデルランドが近年その魅力ある番組により世界の短波聴取者の間で関心と人気を高めておられることを心からお喜び申し上げたいと思います。今後も優れた番組を通じてより一層国際間の相互理解と友好促進の実を挙げられるよう希望いたします。
And we thank our Japanese friends for that very nice greeting, which, would you like to translate that, Jerry?
I thought you wanted to.
Oh, you be my guest.
Well, he said that congratulations, you're on your 25th anniversary, and we look forward to further cooperation, and we thank you for the grand work you've done, and your staff is fantastic.
You speak Japanese.
Yeah.
1961 might not have been a very good year for wine, but it was a great year for opening new buildings.
Yeah, especially the new building of Radio Nederland, the building we are in right now. And that was 11 years ago, and it was quite an occasion because it was officially opened by Queen Juliana. And this is what the Queen said on the occasion.
Vanuit de cockpit van dit vliegtuig wensen deze schone libel een behouden vaart. Met de wens dat ze de Nederlandse boodschap aan rijks- en landgenoten, aan vrienden en vreemden mag overbrengen. Zoals haar bestemd is.
Yes, I was 11 years younger then, and Neville Gray was 42 at the time.
Yeah, we all were. Not 42, but 11 years younger, and it was quite a time. And we've been working in this building with quite a lot of pleasure, I must say. It's very efficient, and everybody who comes here admires it.
Speaking of coming, many foreigners have come and gone, have gone through these hallowed halls of Radio Nederland in the 25 years, haven't they?
Mm-hmm,
well, yes. Some of your most memorable, I won't say characters, but individuals.
Well, I remember one particular radio broadcaster. He was a Briton. Originally, he was from Demerara, Guyana, where he was born, but he was quite a character.
I get the feeling his name shall remain...
Unnamed, that's correct.
Unnamed.
But he was big fun, I can tell you. He was with us two spells of 2 years, once in 1948 till 1950, and later again in 1962, 1963. And this guy was a rather late riser. And then he had to go out on reportage, and he was picked up by the van one morning, and they got him out of bed because he wasn't up yet, and he was in such a hurry that he put a raincoat over his pajamas and trousers. It was in the middle of summer, he had to go to The Hague to interview a minister. And while we were at the ministry, the minister said, "Why don't you take off your coat, Mr. So-and-so?" He said, "Oh, no, I'm quite comfortable the way I am." And he said, "Well, I didn't dare take off this coat because I would have been there in all my splendid pajamas." That's the way he did his interview in the middle of the summer. It was a hot job, I can tell you.
Well, fortunately for him, he was at least wearing pajamas.
Yeah, that's right.
Could have turned out otherwise. The year was 1962, and another gentleman came to Holland. The brother of John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, visited the country. He was on a tour, and he made a comment on the problem at the time vis-a-vis the Netherlands and New Guinea. This is what Robert Kennedy said back in 1962.
"My impression is that Indonesia is very anxious to gain control of West New Guinea. Number one. Number two, my strong impression is that they have no intention of making an attack in the immediate future, that they are anxious to have a peaceful settlement of this issue, and would be willing to sit down and have discussions and negotiations with the Dutch."
In 1962, there was a very big hit record here from Ellen Kramer.
Right. What was that? That was a song called the Middellandse Zee. Very interesting tune, and it went like this.
Middellandse Zee, souvenir van een zomer. Enkel aan het groen is als bij
the voice of Helen Cromer back in
1962.
Right, and we might add that normally we check what's new, but in this case we're more or less checking what's old, really.
Mm. Or what was new at the time.
Right, but let's not, you know, confuse the issue.
In 1962 was the tail end of the year, was a rather sad one, because that was when Queen Wilhelmina, who had been in retirement for 14 years, died. It was a great loss to us all, and I must say a great loss to the whole world.
Actually, 62 was a very sad year because it started with death and ended in similar fashion. Because at the beginning of 1962, Holland experienced its worst train crash and 91 people died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. But I'd like to insert another message here. And now we have one in a very funny language. Well, funny language is a language we don't understand. But it comes from a Francophone Africa, from Dahomey, and it's in Fon.
Nous pouvons nous partons et Radio Nederland et le Bouboueyo. Radio Champouton et d'autres dans le béton sorcédé. Robot Biobio et Dagi, nous allons pas et nous sommes en train de nous faire. Nous sommes en train de nous faire.
Now here's Van Dalken to translate that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, no doubt, but I heard Radio Nederland and Radio Dahomey, and that's all I understood, but I'm sure the message was well meant.
In 1963, too, there was a tremendous international success, a song called Desafinado that brought the bossa nova, and it was successful all over the world, but also here in Holland. Stan Getz had the big version.
You did say, Neville, that was the big one, 1963, wasn't it?
Yeah.
From 63, we skip over to 1965, which for Holland at least was a royal year of happy events. Starting with the engagement of Princess Beatrix, the eldest daughter of Queen Juliana and Prince Bernhard. A BBC reporter was over here and he asked the couple if they expected any hostility because Princess Beatrix was going to marry Mr. von Amsberg, who was a German national. And this is what Princess Beatrix said.
Yes, we did. We considered this point very carefully and we took it very seriously.
And how do you feel about the prospect in view of that?
Well, we feel that, in a way, we're glad that people express their feelings and can express them and have expressed them too, because it is always better when people come out with what they truly feel and think. And it has helped us too to realize even more what we stand for. But as I said, we have taken this all very, very much in consideration, but in spite of it, we felt that it's up to us to build our own lives, and we believe that we can, in due time, and with some faith, overcome quite a lot of the difficulties.
1965, and that was a year when Willeke Alberti, we heard from her father a while back, Willeke sang a tune entitled My diary, or in Dutch, mijn dagboek.
Kleine verhaal dat begon zo goed. Ik had jullie maandag voor het eerst ontmoet. Toen was er nog blijdschap in overvloed. Dat staat in mijn dagboek te lezen. Ik gaf goed.
And if we check our 1965 diary, we find that British Week was held in Holland, and who should come to open British Week? None other than England's Margaret Rose.
Your Majesty, Your Excellencies, Mr. Burgomaster, ladies and gentlemen. I first came to Amsterdam 18 years ago when I had the honour of being present at Your Majesty's inauguration. Therefore, it is most exciting for me to come back now to open our British Week here. And we are looking forward tremendously to spending these four interesting days among you. And in this time, seeing all we can of this beautiful city.
England's Princess Margaret Rose.
We want another piece of music, but before we do that, we have a message, and this one comes from South America, from the Argentine.
Este es el saludo de Radio Nacional de la Argentina
con motivo del 25º aniversario de Radio Netherlands. Hablen.
Me es sumamente grato felicitar a quienes han cumplido tan destacada trayectoria en el ámbito radiotelefónico internacional. Con sincero júbilo expresamos nuestras felicitaciones y manifestamos el deseo de que nuestros colegas holandeses prosigan exitosamente su meritorio camino, con nuevos triunfos y renovadas satisfacciones. Salud, Radio Netherlands. Feliz cumpleaños, amigos de los Países Bajos.
We come now to the year 1965, we're still in 65 actually, and a few weeks ago, Princess Margriet and Peter van Vollenhoven, Princess Margriet being the one of the three daughters of Queen Juliana, and one of the four daughters of Queen Juliana, I stand corrected.
She was the one that was born in Canada during the war.
Canada. Oh, yes, yes. Yes.
You've heard of Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somewhere near the United States, I believe.
Right.
She and her husband became parents for the third time. We're turning the clock back to 1965, at which time our reporter Ian Elliott spoke with them and asked about their first meeting.
Well, we met each other in May 63 on a party.
At a party.
And then after that we saw each other regularly. And we went to two parties together.
Well, Your Royal Highness, born in Ottawa during the unhappier years of the Second World War. I wonder whether you might perhaps have a few words of greeting to address to our listeners over there.
Well, Canada is a very warm spot in my heart always, although I've never been back. And I'd like very much to say to the Canadian people that I'm very happy to be engaged and that I have this opportunity to tell them this.
I believe we have another message coming up now from another radio station.
That's right. We are going north now to Scandinavia, and here we have a message from Radio Sverige. Come in, Arne Skog.
Under sina 25 år har Radio Nederland blivit en av de populäraste stationerna bland lyssnarna. Och dessutom knutit starka band mellan Nederländerna och folk i alla delar av världen, inte minst i Sverige och bland oss svenska DX-are. De flesta av oss står i tacksamhetsskuld till Radio Nederland, inte minst för dess Happy Station och dess Jukebox, som har varit både intressanta och lärorika. Våra gratulationer på 25-årsdagen är därför uppriktiga och våra välgångsönskningar för framtiden det allra hjärtligaste.
Tack så mycket.
Another exciting thing that happened in, was that 65 or 66, Neville?
66, this one came along.
Cabaret star, singer, songwriter, Ramses Shafi came up with a tune called Sammy, and it really caught on.
Sammy wil bij niemand horen, zich door niets laten verstoren. Toch voelt hij zich soms verloren. Sammy, hoge toren, Sammy kan die aan. Hoog, Sammy, kijk omhoog, Sammy, want daarboven lacht de maan. Sammy wil met niemand praten, maar toch voelt hij zich verlaten. Waarom voel je je verlaten, Sammy op de straat, Sammy van de straat? Hoog, Sammy, kijk omhoog, Sammy, want dan ga je lekker naast. Sammy.
And we go now for a message, we're going to...
We go to the Netherlands Antilles, to the island of Aruba. And this message is in the local language there, the Papiamento, from Radio Calvo.
Na ocasión de 25 años de existencia de Radio Nederland Wereldomroep na Hilversum, Holanda, tapa gerencia y personal de Radio Calvo PA5 na Oranje Stad Aruba, un honor de por felicitar Radio Nederland Wereldomroep sinceramente en ocasión aquí. Radio Calvo me está trabajando 18 años cabo con Radio Nederland Wereldomroep. Presentando semanalmente diferente de su programa. Radio Nederland, Machapo Bien.
Thank you very much. I don't know how you say that in Papiamento, but you'll hear the word Wereldomroep mentioned in these messages several times. And I'd like to mention to our listeners that don't know what this means, that it's just world broadcasting. That's part of our Dutch name, Radio Nederland Wereldomroep.
Well, 66, by the way, and this is not of historical significance, but I arrived at Radio Nederland that year, and Van Balken gave me the grand tour, showed me all the studios, upstairs, downstairs, even the boiler rooms, and I was really impressed.
Thank you.
Coming up a couple of years to 1968, though, Wim Sonneveld had another great big hit record called De Kat van Oma Willem.
Dat is op een echte Franse school geweest, op school geweest, op school geweest. Ik heb dus op... Franse school geweest. En zeg nou, opa, doe.
How long have you been here now, Bruce?
66, 67, 68. About going into the 60th year.
60th year. Well, besides being impressed with the boiler room, what else has impressed you? What is your most outstanding memory of your time here?
Well, it's been...
What's the funniest thing that's happened?
Well, the funniest thing that's ever happened to me? Well, I suppose something that we mentioned while the microphones were turned off, when I slept right through a transmission.
Oh, yes.
And got caught in the act by my boss. Very difficult.
Yeah.
How about you, Neville? Anything outstanding that makes you laugh?
Not outstandingly funny, no.
He laughs all the time,
yeah.
You know?
Did you see the boiler room?
No, I didn't, as a matter of fact.
Maybe I can see it after the show.
It wasn't necessary for him.
Let's come up for air in another message.
No, I'd like to mention something else. In 1959, we started our first DX jukebox. We've been having that ever since, and the people who are behind this DX jukebox program are Harry Van Gelder, my assistant, and Jim Fostenhout. Jim Fostenhout, who has a function in the technical department. I must say this is a very good program as far as listeners' response is concerned, because we have these technical courses, we have answers to questions, and we have music on the program too. I'm not a DXer myself, but from what I'm told, this is a very successful program.
And they do it extremely well, too, in spite of the fact they've never really seen the boiler room.
That's correct, yeah.
And speaking of, pardon me, Jerry, but speaking of things of antiquity, what about Shortwave's oldest husband and wife show? His and hers.
His and hers, yeah. That's
doing it since 1961,
isn't it?
Yes, I hope so.
Yeah, since 96. Well, I've been on the air since 96. What is...
Time moves on.
11 years, quite a long time.
And Dutch Bell Radio, of course, was a rather new innovation for us here at Radio Nederland.
Yes, Dutch Bell Radio has had over 20,000 participants now. I think that's quite some. I never knew that people all over the world would be that much interested in the Dutch language, because after all, we are only a limited area, and, there are only few people who speak Dutch, but it seems to catch on, and more people want to learn Dutch in Dutch by radio.
So we can assume that about 25,000 people, non-Dutch people, can speak Dutch, which of course poses a problem.
More or less.
Now, if you're walking anywhere abroad and you want to say something that's not quite cricket, you have to be careful of not saying it in Dutch. Someone might understand you.
They might understand you.
How many letters do we get per year at Radio Nederland?
Oh, at the moment, approximately 30,000.
This is only the English department?
Only the English department.
Do you have any idea how many letters the entire organization has?
Oh, yes. Well over 100,000 per annum.
That's a lot of mail.
Mm-hmm. I don't read it in one day, anyway.
That's a lot of
mail. Dutch television.
Yes.
Dutch television has produced a very successful television series for children made up of puppets that's now being shown, I believe, in something like 35 countries in the world in all sorts of languages. It's called the Fabeltjes Krant, which is Fables Newspaper. And each episode of the program is introduced by an old, wise old owl. The theme of the television series was a very successful hit record back in 1969. Shall we hear it?
En lees ons dan voor uit de Fabeltjeskrant.
Ja, ja, uit de Fabeltjeskrant. Want daarin staat precies vermeld hoe het met de dieren is gesteld.
Echt waar, reden uit.
Want dieren zijn precies als mensen.
Good event now, and another message.
Yeah, we have a message now coming in from Africa, from Mr. Isola Folorunso in Nigeria.
This is the Nigerian Broadcasting Corporation. We have received the news of your 25th birthday anniversary with great joy and delight. You have all reasons to be happy and proud on this great occasion. We of the Nigerian Broadcasting Corporation send you warmest greetings and sincere wishes for many more years of useful service to your people and the world at large. We look forward to many more years of rewarding cooperation between our two organizations.
From Africa. Should we come a little closer to home for our next message?
Yes, because from Germany, which is our neighbor, we have a message from the Westdeutsche Rundfunk coming in Cologne.
Hier meldet sich als Gatteland aus Köln der Schulfunk des Westdeutschen Rundfunks, in dessen Namen ich Radio Niederland in Hilversum anlässlich seines 25-jährigen Bestehens herzlich beglückwünsche.
Dankeschön, Westdeutschland. And Kuwait, should we have the Kuwaiti message now?
Yeah, which is in Arabic and is quite a nice message from Radio Kuwait.
كما يسر إذاعة الكويت في هذه المناسبة أن تقدم عربونا لهذه التمنيات ولتلك الصداقة الأغنية الكويتية حب سبانية سمراء للمطرب الكويتي مصطفى أحمد.
To Radio Kuwait we say شكراً.
1970 saw a Dutch breakthrough into the world's pop charts. Bruce, tell us about Venus.
Yeah, Venus was an exciting tune, and the Shocking Blue were responsible for it, and no doubt they've been going to the bank ever since after singing Venus.
Was a real big one. We have a message now coming up from
Curaçao, from Radio Curaçao.
From Willemstad, Curaçao, in the Netherlands Antilles, Radio Curaçao wishes to congratulate all members of Radio Nederland Wereldomroep on the occasion of its 25th anniversary. We should also like to take this opportunity of expressing our gratitude for the cooperation we received from the West Indies Division during the past 25 years. It is our sincerest wish that Radio Nederland may continue in the same successful way for many, many years to come.
We sincerely hope so too, otherwise we'll all be out of a job.
But
we go to Mexico.
Mexico in the Central American area for 100 radio stations.
De abril, Radio Nederland cumple 25 años de vida, lo cual es lo mismo que decir que integra 25 años de merecido prestigio. Y la ocasión es propicia para hacerle llegar a Radio Nederland un saludo desde México, expresado en las tradicionales mañanitas mexicanas.
Message from Mexico.
From Mexico, yeah, and ended with the famous Mañanas or Mañanitas, which is a sort of birthday song that they play in that country.
Why don't you tell us about the transmitters of Radio Nederland? That's one of the newest things that's happened around here. There are relay transmitters on Bonaire and...
Yeah, the relay stations, yeah. Well, in 1964, I think it was, yes, our present director, Mr. Teamster, decided that we should be heard better all over the world. And since we only had those transmitters here in the Netherlands at Lopik, which were quite good transmitters, but because of some technicality, I don't know which, because I'm an ignoramus in this particular field, we didn't quite get quite through to areas like the Pacific coast of the United States, South America, Pacific countries like New Zealand and Australia. So we decided to build a radio station, a relay radio station, in the island of Bonaire in the Netherlands Antilles. And from there, we have now a very good outlet to those areas I just mentioned, and they get just beautiful reception there.
I saw the transmitter site a couple of years ago when we officially opened the Bonaire relay station, and it's really quite an impressive bit of machinery.
We have transmitters of 300 kilowatts there, which can be coupled to boost 600 kilowatts. Yeah. And the same goes now for the island of Madagascar. We build another relay station in Madagascar, which is just due east of South Africa.
So we now broadcast shortwave and medium wave as well.
Medium wave, well, the medium wave is not from our own relay station, but we still have time on the air at Transworld Radio in Bonaire, of whose facilities we made use before we had our own relay station. But we remained there for the medium wave, for the broadcast band.
Do you think one day we might be broadcasting our programs via satellite?
Well, satellites, of course, is the up-and-coming thing, but I must admit, satellites are very expensive things still. When they get cheaper, I hope...
He's on a budget.
Yeah, of course. Well, when they get to be cheaper, there might be a possibility that we might make use of satellites for better reception. We have done it occasionally on special occasions. You know, you just hire one of these things, but... And the results were quite good, but for the time being, no. I don't think it is, from a budget point of view, possible to use satellites at this particular moment.
I just don't be satisfied with our relay transmitters.
Unless you want to forfeit your salary, maybe we can do something then.
Who writes your scripts? So we have a message now from a country which has had very, very close ties with Holland for many long years.
Yeah.
The ties have been not as one would have liked from time to time, but they are very, very good today.
That's right. It's the country. It's the country to which we transferred sovereignty. We heard that earlier in the program. It's Indonesia, and from Jakarta, the director of Radio Indonesia, Abdul Hamid, has the following message. Come in.
Radio Nederland memperingati hari ulang tahunnya yang ke-25 atas nama seluruh warga Radio Republik Indonesia. Saya ingin menyatakan selamat berbahagia. Semoga suara Radio Nederland tetap berkumandang, membawakan acaranya yang bersahabat dan bernilai di bidang kehidupan rakyat Belanda. Dengan demikian, senantiasa membantu mempererat hubungan antara bangsa pada umumnya dan antara bangsa Belanda dan Indonesia pada khususnya.
To Indonesia, terima kasih, terima kasih, terima kasih.
Terima kasih banyak, Abdul Hamid. And those were all the messages that we received from around the world in various languages. Although perhaps you didn't understand them all, I didn't for one thing, but just the same, it was nice to hear them, and we thank all those people who took trouble in making these messages available to us on this particular occasion, our 25th anniversary. Do we have some more music?
We have some. We have two chaps here who want to say something in English, I believe.
Okay.
Hmm. That's us,
yeah. Oh, I guess it's us. Yeah. You're
too Bruce and Neville, you're on.
I'd like to say that last year, 1971, this was a tremendous hit record, and it was a catchy little thing called Hup Darris Willem that featured two of the characters from the television series that we mentioned a little earlier, The Fable Cheese. This is Edin Willem Bever and Hup Darris Willem.
Yes, and he really wants this to be heard because it's his favorite song.
Hup Darris Willem met de waterpomp, want Willem is niet bang.
Je hoeft het maar te vragen,
ja,
dan staat hij al te zagen, te kotteren en te boren, de gaatjes in je oren.
Als je maar kijkt, als je maar kijkt, is je Willem weer een vlees. Hoi! Het daar is Willem met de waterpomp, de meid op de combinatie.
Well, this has been a very special program, and we hope you enjoyed it, a program marking the 25th anniversary of Radio Nederland on this particular day, April the 15th. We, of course, look forward to the next 25 years.
Who knows whether it'll be around in 25 years?
Not me.
I will.
You will. Well, I don't know.
Considering my youth.
I don't know if Neville will be around.
No,
he's
possibly
42
not.
Now.
Yeah.
Ben, how would you, if you could express a wish now for the next 25 years for Radio Nederland, what would you say?
I wish that we may go from strength to strength and that our listeners will increase by the thousands and tens and hundred thousands. But still, I wish Radio Nederland to work for the Netherlands and to be the goodwill ambassador that we have been so far.
Goedenavond, luisteraars in Nederland, in Oost en West, op zee, of waar ook ter wereld.
Presenting that Silver Jubilee program were Van Dulken, Bruce Parsons, Neville Gray, and yours truly, Jerry Cowan. This is Radio Nederland, the Dutch World Broadcasting System in Hilversum, Holland. We look forward to the pleasure of your company on Monday as we go into our second quarter century of broadcasting to the world from Holland.
You have been listening to a transmission aired by the Dutch World Broadcasting System, Radio Nederland, in Hilversum, Holland, relayed via the Flamingo Island, Bonaire, Netherlands Antilles. And that's the end of this broadcast. Until tomorrow, when we hope to have you with us again, we're wishing you all a very good night, wherever you may be.